Dreaming of blissful summer days and creamy popsicles? Capture sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. Just one stick and 16 ounces of water can help hydrate you better than water alone. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout.
Don't sweat the technique.
Coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Everybody's saying the turning point of this game was the botched snap on third and long where Stroud picked it up, found Xavier Hutchinson for a deep play, an explosive play, moved the chains, eventually would score a touchdown a little bit later on that drive. Here was D'Amico Ryans talking about that play and how it changed the game.
All right, we started slow. We put the ball on the ground too many times, and we needed a play. And that's what it looks like. Players step up and make the plays. That's what playoff football is about. That's what, you know, being a big-time player in the league is about. And, of course, you see the fumble snap, and I'm just thinking, like, please pick the ball up. And then we're able to, you know, to see CJ improvise and find Hutch, you know, keeping his eyes downfield, just having that confidence in himself and his ability to avoid the rush and still keep his eyes downfield and find Hutch. And that was an outstanding play to me. That was the play of the game that really, you know, created momentum for our entire team.
All right. So D'Amico thinks that was the play that instilled the confidence on the rest of the team. Here was CJ Stroud after the game talking about the play with Xavier Hutchinson.
Even after I made the play, I was kind of mad at myself for my eyes. Like, I didn't look at the snap, so it just went straight through my hands. And so I'm looking, I'm trying to see the defense, and it went through my hands. And luckily, it bounced right back up to me. And, you know, I tried to just save the play. Hutch did a good job. I trusted me, and, you know, I trust him. So he kept on the move. And, you know, that when we made the completion, I looked at the sideline. Everybody was turned up, so that turned me up because I was still kind of mad at myself. Those are the type of plays that change momentum, and that's when, you know, a team can, you know, rally around plays like that. So, you know, shout out to Hutch for making a great instinctual play, and, you know, I just try to do my best to savor the play.
So do you think this was the turning point of the game, Blankers?
I think the more I thought about it, I was thinking it was the turning point of the offense. I think that from the standpoint of how bad they were playing offensively and how off it seemed CJ was, it seemed like it kind of kickstarted him. It seemed like the crowd, the reaction, the ooh factor kind of fired him up a little bit, and then he kind of got more focused in, because from that point on, the offense actually did a whole lot more than they did to the point before the fumble.
Yeah, I don't doubt any of those things. Like, I do think that it made Stroud a little bit more confident. Maybe it got his swag back a little bit. Maybe it started to get him where he felt like he could shred him a little bit more. Like, I don't doubt any of those things being true. But, like, the turning point of the game, I can't quite call it that. Because even after that, yes, you get the field goal right before the end of the half, but that was because the Chargers are going deep every single play. You get a quick three and out. Kymie Fairbairn makes a long field goal. Look how they started the second half. They fumbled the ball in their first drive of the second half. They settle for a field goal after the Chargers turn it over on downs in their second possession of the second half. And then they go three and out and punt on their third possession of the second half. Now, what happened after that punt? This is what I think was the turning point of the game.
Herbert, pump, throw, intercepted! Eric Murray, pick six, touchdown, Texans!
That, to me, was the turning point. That, to me, was the biggest play of the game. The offense started to sputter. It's still a one-possession game. Chargers are getting the football back down by seven, and then you get the pick six. Now it's a two-possession game. It would never be less than a two-possession game after that. For me, it's the Eric Murray pick six.
See, I think that you can argue that was the turning point for the team as a total, as a whole, and I think you'd be right. I just think from an offensive perspective, whether they got points on the board or not, and a lot of times they shot themselves in the foot and it wasn't CJ. I just think maybe it was just that play for CJ alone kind of righted the ship, Because before that, he looked shook. He looked like he wasn't himself. And after that play, it seemed like he kind of got zoned in.
Yeah, I'm not doubting that. But to me, the biggest play was the Murray pick six, make it a two-possession game for the first time. And it was coming right after a three and out. Right after a three and out, seven-point game, and then you get the pick six. 713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Jamal, you're in the Hive. What's up, Jamal?
Hey, what's going on, guys? It was a great game. I was actually at the game
Section 133
on Saturday. And I can tell you from being there, it definitely turned the game around because there was a lot of Chargers fans. I was kind of surprised. They kind of have a national reputation of not having fans, but there were a lot of Charger fans in the place in front of me, on the side of me, and they were talking, you know, a whole bunch of junk the first half, the first, you know, 20 minutes of the game. And then we also got to remember they were so close to getting that intentional grounding. I couldn't see the replay, but they were close to getting an intentional grounding, and that could have been – devastating. So when he botched the snap, we're like, come on, man. But the play he made, it just lifted the roof off the stadium. And after that, you almost kind of had a feeling that, okay, we're going to pull this out. And, you know, the Charger fans started filing out one by one. But for me, yeah, it was definitely the turning point. Enjoy the show. Thanks for taking the call.
I think the biggest thing you could say about that play in general was, and I hate to hear that CJ didn't even see it come, wasn't even looking. That's not a positive. But at the same time, his poise, once he got it back, a lot of quarterbacks are either getting down or throwing it away and just saying, you know, panicking and saying, play over, let's live to see another day. The fact that he, after gathering the football, was able to stay poised, roll out, see what he could see, and then somehow make that play is a huge feather in his cap.
Sunshine of Twitch, Rich Jamal, Houston Dab on Twitch, Jamal, humble brag. Yeah, he was
coming after him already?
I was there.
Maybe he was sitting by flex. B.H. B. Hannon was there.
He was there. A little Jamal flex. I like it, Jamal. I don't mind a little flex from time to time. I encourage flexes. They're good. They're good for us. 713-780-ESPN. Texture says, I think the Murray interception capped it. Yeah, I could see that. But, I mean, the offense really wasn't clicking. It wasn't clicking early second half to me.
But I guess it's your definition of turning point, but I don't, to me, turning point doesn't necessarily have to be immediate results follow. To me is when, okay, now we're confident, now we feel like we can do this, and then things start to come around and slowly go your way. And I'd actually go, you guys will probably disagree with me, but watching the game, when I felt like where the game flipped from, oh my God, the Chargers are up playing them, the Texans are playing their, you know, their C minus game right now, to, oh, the Texans are in this, they have some fight, was with the block punt that basically turned into nothing because it rolled all the way to like the 25 yard line. But when you saw that play, and their special teams coordinator Frank Ross just going full Ultimate Warrior on the sideline, freaking out, to me, that was the moment where, like, okay, the Texans are in this, they actually have some fight.
I could see that. Like, okay, they did get fired up.
They did get fired up,
and Frank Ross was losing his mind. He was a lunatic.
But he had a good day.
He had a really good day.
And it's not very often that the special teams guy can actually have some sunshine on him, and the sun was shining on him brightly yesterday, so I get it.
See, 4-3-2-1 says, I think putting it all together and having two block kicks, which is very rare, might have contributed to the change in tempo as well. The thing is with those two block kicks is that they happened almost at polar opposites of the game. Mm-hmm. Like Brian mentioned, the first one was whenever it was 6-0 and you were sputtering and nothing was working offensively. The second block kick on special teams, the blocked extra point, which you returned for two, you had a two-possession lead. Mm-hmm. Like, you had started to take control of the game. So, like, the difference between those two kicks and the turning point, like, in terms of the turning point of the game, are very vast, in my opinion.
And I want to throw this out for honorable mention to both of you guys. The other one that I would say, maybe it wasn't the overall turning point, but it was really, really big, was right after CJ threw the lame duck that got picked off. The fact that on the very next play they came back and got it back, that's when the entire sideline started, I think, because they started to get a little uneasy on the sideline when he threw that pass. And then all of a sudden they picked the ball right back off, and it's like everybody's fired up, jumping up and down.
That was a great
play
by Master.
It was fantastic.
That wasn't just your run-of-the-mill, someone just center fields it because the ball's floating in the air. Like, he bodied up Quentin Johnson, took the ball away. That was a great play by Lasseter.
It was also a terrible decision by Herbert.
Sure.
He's running to one sideline and then throwing 30 yards across the grain to the opposite sideline. That was really dumb. Todd, I thought CJ running for a first down changed the way the Chargers play defense. After watching that run by CJ Stroud, I will say that I now believe CJ Stroud is faster from point A to point B than Joe Burrow. I've never seen Stroud on an NFL football field run that fast. I think he's faster than Burrow point A to point B.
I said at the time I thought he was faster than Joe Burrow. I'll say this.
I still don't know if he's a better athlete, though.
And there's probably two different discussions. But I think that at the same time, when I looked at it, and then he had multiple runs that were really, really big for them to where, again, I don't want to see CJ running into harm's way. I don't want him to be pulling Trevor Lawrence type runs. But when he sees an opening, and I think early in the game he passed one up where he could have run for the first down. He made a really bad pass that I'm not going to say should have been picked off, but could have very easily been picked off. And from that point forward, he started to see lanes and take advantage of them. That was the big one. He had two others that were really big for this team with his leg.
I'm usually very protective of my sports mijos. You know that. Jordan Alvarez, Tank Dell, CJ Stroud, any quarterback. But it's the playoffs.
No doubt.
It's the playoffs. So, like, yeah, I want him. Do I want him running for 30 and sliding as opposed to 35 and taking a hit to the head? Obviously. But I'm okay him being more aggressive and throwing caution to the wind more now that it's do or die. There is no tomorrow. Elimination football. So, like, if he wants to try to truck a defensive back every now and then, I'm okay with that in the playoffs. Am I okay with it in week three? Uh-uh. Am I okay with it in the regular season at all? Uh-uh. But once you get to the playoffs, okay, you can do it.
I think this is Ohio State, Georgia, where you just all opportunities are on deck and you use them. And I feel like, again, I'd like to see him, and I think he was wise. Someone better teach that guy how to slide. But at the same time,
I don't know why you have such a problem with the way he slid.
Go look at all three of them, because he really didn't traditionally slide.
But if he slides like the baseball slide, or like the Russell Wilson slide, he loses yardage.
They still didn't give him the extra yards. They treated it like he was trying to slide, and they marked it from where he started no matter what. And one, he could have hurt himself just sliding with how bad that looked. And two, if you're going to dive full out so that there's no misinterpretation. And if you're not, then get on your butt cheek and get down and just slide, because those were awkward slides. But I think short of putting yourself in harm's way for a Trevor Lawrence type hit, well, I like the fact he's running more.
That's kind of why I don't think it was a bad slide. I mean, I will agree with you. If you're going to go, for the yardage, he's got to do better with an actual head-first slide. But I think he saw what Trevor Lawrence did, where he's sliding. Like, Trevor Lawrence slid exactly how you're supposed to slide, heads up on your butt and everything.
Yeah.
He was prone. Like, when a quarterback slides that like that, he is completely thrown prone. CJ was rolling his body in a way to where he wouldn't be prone to that same type of hit that Trevor Lawrence
did. He still got hit in the head by number 7. I'm surprised it wasn't flagged. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that you're kind of prone either way. I'm not going to argue that you're more prone.
I think
you can
control your
body
where you're less prone, is all I'm saying. Like, I don't think there's a worse position for a quarterback to be when he's doing the traditional slide. Like, if someone wants to come in like Aziz did,
head first dive,
you're completely prone.
Head first dive.
I think you're leaving nothing to doubt if you do traditional slide. Yeah, you might still get hit, but I think that I'm giving myself up mode.
Sure.
When he's doing it the way he's doing it, you're actually, I think, putting yourself more in harm's way, because from a defender's perspective, you're not kind of leaning back and getting ready to get into that baseball slide position. So if he's a runner out of the pocket, I may hit him now more so.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's when you go down. Like, if you give yourself up, even if it's not a slide, then you can't take a hit on the guy.
By the way, just a complete sidebar on that, but it drives me nuts, and it happened yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And it happened in one of the other games. I hate the fact that the Chargers tried to use it to their advantage. A lot of times the referees, it's a total, like, referees call on whether they're actually giving themselves up or not. And I think it was Woods on one play where he caught it over the middle, and the Chargers acted like they were going to touch him, and they didn't. And they waited for him to try and get up, and they tried to punch the ball out. And then the referee blew the whistle and said he gave himself up. And I don't think that he did. But I hate that, the fact that the referees, like, have that jurisdiction to say, did he give himself up or not? Because I think it's dangerous.
Yeah, it is. I think that CJ knows how to slide, though. I've seen him slide plenty. I think he's a fine slider.
He played
slider.
Baseball, right?
Yeah. I think he's a fine slider. I just think he's like, I'm going to turn up because it's the playoffs and that sliding stuff for the regular season. I think he's capable.
What were we talking about this earlier, though? Was it him or somebody else where we were like, somebody better give some sliding lessons, because it looks like he never played baseball before.
I don't remember.
It was him or somebody else.
That was a big part of Hard Knocks with Caleb Williams. Is that what you're thinking of?
I don't know, but it came up on the show, and we were talking about, like, you better either find a sliding mat or do something so that you figure out how to not hurt yourself in sliding or get hit.
I don't remember who it was. I do remember that conversation.
Yeah, we had a conversation.
I feel like
I don't remember who
Stroud,
it was.
Though. I don't think it was Stroud.
Because, you know, when he does the pregame stuff, he always brings out the baseball and the basketball and does all, and the golf club and does all these different things. I know he's played multiple sports. I didn't remember if he played baseball or not.
Yeah, I believe he did play baseball. 713-780-ESPN. Let's go back out to Jalen, his turning point of the game. Jalen, you're in the Hive. What's up? Jalen.
Jalen, you there?
All right, call back, Jalen. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. What was your turning point of the game? A lot of reaction from this as well. 713-780-3776. It's the Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN
92.5. The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live in the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees. Now back to Joel and Jeremy.
713-780-ESP. Let's go back out to the HRP listener line. Jalen's back. Jalen, you're in the Hive. What's going on?
How you doing? My bad for what happened before. But I think the turning point was definitely whenever we blocked the kick on the extra point that the Chargers have. I think it just showed that it was straight, you know, resilience from the Texans. And I think we're clicking on all three levels, special teams, offense, and defense.
Appreciate it, Jalen. The issue that I have there is that it was still a two-possession game. Mm-hmm. Like, you had already flipped the tide, right? Like, it was 6-0 early. You get the touchdown late the first half, made it 7-6. Chargers go 3-and-out, 2 deep balls that were there. You get the late field goal, 10-6 at that point. Then you stay at 10-6 for a while. Chargers get the football back, and then the pick six for Murray. So, like, to me, it's either the Murray pick six, or it's the Stroud run, or it's the botched snap play.
Yeah, the only thing I would say about the 2 points off the blocked extra point is it kind of, I don't want to say it removed all doubt,
yeah,
but you started to have doubt creeping in a little bit, and the minute they did that, you're like, okay, all right, we're still in our right position.
It allowed you to, like, exhale a little bit.
Right.
I agree with
right.
that. 713-780-3776. Back out to the HRMP listener line. Lamont in the Hive. What's up, Lamont?
Hey, what's the deal, fellas? I hate to be the bearer of bad news. Everybody's flying hot right now. But I guess this goes back to your segment of don't ignore in victory what you wouldn't in defeat. I love the win. But Bobby Slowick has to go. He has to go. What'd you say?
I said, ooh, wow. I like it. Go on.
Yeah. I'm about to get ready and land. Here's where I'm going with that. You know, Mixon was out there running like a Hebrew slave, man, churning up 5 to 6, 7 yards at a clip with a goal line, and then they'll get cute. He gets fancy. The game could have been over way. The game could have been over before the eventual triple zeros, because Mixon with a guy in there. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? In the fourth quarter, when they was like at third and goal at the goal line, and then they did something fancy or cute.
Brian,
it was crazy. And another thing. What I learned, and this is going back to the morning show, you know, with what he's learned. What I've learned is the San Diego Chargers commits no penalties. Yeah, make that make sense. The Texans had like 86 yards worth of 80 or 90 yards worth of penalties, and the Chargers had like 1 penalty all game. I might be wrong. It could have been 2, but it wasn't that many. That's unbelievable to me. But I like the win, man. You know,
it doesn't sound like you do, Lamont. You know, it doesn't sound like you, Lamont, like to win a whole lot.
Look, I don't.
Yeah, man. What I don't like is Slowick.
I got you.
Say, man, that dude was Mixon was eating. He was eating. He was running the rock. He had stealth and also Pac-Man, Joe, yeah. This is what I want to ask you, because I put this out there yesterday. Is the step form similar to basketball, what a posterized is? I put that out there yesterday. I just
say it again. I missed the first part of it. Is what?
Is the step form in the NFL from a running back similar to a posterized in basketball to you?
Oh, for a running back, for sure, because you could look at it, there were 3 different plays. There was Goddard in the Packer game. There was Henry. There was Joe Mixon. Yeah, I think in terms of, like, you know, comparison, yeah, it's like posterizing someone. From a running back position, yeah, you're going to get the Sports Center moments on the runs, but yeah, those stiff arms are becoming big time.
Yeah. Appreciate the call. Yeah.
Hey, man, I love the show. I love the show. You guys always bring it, you know, being you ain't a homer or anything like that. You call it like you see it. Hey, Joel, sorry about the Packers, man. I had money on them. I lost.
I called
it,
brother. I expected it. Nothing to be sorry about. Appreciate you, Lamont. I think, was it Joey, the other guy that did it last week?
Yeah.
I think Lamont and Joey might want to have a beer and talk about etiquette. But I'm just saying. For on air. I know Lamont's been critical of CJ, but I thought Slowick was, yes, I think more penalties and shooting yourself in the foot than play calling to me yesterday.
Yeah.
There was one moment where I thought, what the hell is Slowick doing?
Yeah, I didn't
want
to
steal
your thunder.
A segment coming up for
yeah,
that.
I didn't want to steal your thunder.
Yeah,
I did think about that, though. Like, because I saw Kubiak getting interviewed today. I can't remember who's interviewing
Clint.
Him. Yeah. I can't remember who's interviewing him, but somebody's interviewing him to be the offense coordinator.
Okay.
And it's like, oh, look at the Texans aren't going to have the opportunity to interview OCs because they're still playing football,
right,
which
right.
I mean, I wouldn't trade that, right? Mm-hmm. I'd rather be one of the final eight than interviewing offensive coordinators, but it did cross my mind. 713-780-ESPN. When you send that find, address it to Brian McDonald. Texter says CJ needs to learn how to slide. See, I think he's capable. Maybe I'm just making that up. Somebody said he is. Somebody said it was Caleb Williams. I feel like we've seen it during the regular season, though. I feel like we've seen CJ Stroud.
I don't recall
slide.
It because we don't want him running. I don't recall it. I just know we had the conversation. He's athletic enough. He should know how to slide.
Yeah. Yeah, now I don't disagree with Brian's point a whole lot, though, that if you kind of like dive forward and turtle up in enough time, that it might be safer because you do leave yourself vulnerable if you take this upright slide like Trevor Lawrence does. So whenever we had that conversation, whenever the Azeez Alshire hit happened, there was a lot of football people saying that it's better to go head first, mm-hmm. not like a full out dive, but like head first, cover up your body, almost like a stop, drop, and roll.
Space of before impact
Absolutely.
Matters.
That's the most important.
Matters a ton in the conversation.
That matters more than dive slide.
No question.
Yeah.
No question. And by the way, on Azeez, early on, I don't know if you guys had the doubt I did. He eased up on one of the first hits that he had a chance to make.
I don't like that.
And I was like, oh, please don't let that be a factor from what he's been through. And then later in the game, he was making some pretty solid hits. I was like, okay, no, I don't have to worry about that. Because the first time he eased up on close to a first down, there were a couple guys in on the tackle, and he could have absolutely delivered it. And he kind of pulled back, and I was like, God, you can't have that happen at this time of year.
XX is saying CJ has a problem not sliding. So maybe I am making that up. Maybe I'm pulling that out of thin air. Somebody said it was Caleb Williams that we were talking about on Hard Knocks. They brought out the slip and slide. I don't think it was Caleb, though.
No, it wasn't.
And then somebody else said it was Trevor Lawrence, and he got that hit. So I wonder if it was Lawrence whenever
the
hit
don't think
happened.
It was then, but I don't think it, the Hard Knocks thing, I know that happened, but that didn't fuel our discussion. We had our discussion because of a specific quarterback in play, and I just can't put my finger on when it happened.
Yeah, I don't either. Branham, don't talk bad about Herbert. He's a much better quarterback than CJ. I think they're close, and I know that CJ had a better game than Herbert did yesterday. I think they're about on the same tier.
Can you say much better when he just threw four picks, though?
I get
you could say maybe Herbert has more natural arm talent, you know, whatever. You could say maybe he checks the boxes with more traits because of the height and the arm strength, blah, blah, blah. But can you say he's without a doubt much better when he just threw four picks?
But here's the thing.
Yeah, I wouldn't say much. I think they're on the same tier, though.
I'm fine with that.
I know there's a lot of people unloading on Herbert today, and he did not have his best game. He also made a lot of really good throws. Some of the throws were dropped. And I think that I believe that
Will
he has.
Will Disley was brutal.
Yeah, he was awful after he made a couple catches early. He was horrible. But I think that he also only has one. He basically only had one receiver to throw to. But I think that, yeah, he didn't play his best, but I still believe he's got a ton of talent.
It's just hard because the only other playoff game in his history was the collapse in Jacksonville, where they also another like four pick game. So when that's your only playoff history, mm-hmm. it's hard to to remember what else has happened with him.
And others have said it too, but the fact of the matter is he earned every bit of all the criticism that he should rightfully get, just like Lamar does. If you're considered an upper echelon quarterback in the league and you can't win in the playoffs, until you prove differently, James Harden in basketball, then it's on you and you deserve it.
Yeah, Stroud has scoreboard over him because he played better
and
Saturday.
He's got a playoff.
Twice. He's got two. And Herbert's kind of choked in both of those playoff
games.
Does he
have more playoff wins now than Deshaun?
CJ Stroud has the most playoff wins in franchise history with two.
For a quarterback. Yeah, that's high bar there. Congratulations
to
C.J. Stroud. C.J. Stroud, the most decorated quarterback in Houston Texans history. Fact, not opinion.
And before that, he was tied with the likes
of... He was a five-way tie.
Yeah,
T.J. Yates, Matt Schaub, Deshaun Watson, Brock Osweiler, and obviously himself.
T.J. was the one I was trying to think of.
Yep.
What's his name for Pittsburgh? Didn't get a win, but he got to start at the start of the season that Deshaun was drafted.
You're talking about
Tom Savage? Savage. No, he didn't get a playoff win.
Okay.
Herbert and CJ are the same, but CJ has the upside. Herbert is what he is at this point. I would agree with that. I think Herbert is at his ceiling or near his ceiling, where I still think CJ Stroud has a lot of time to grow and potential to grow. Now, potential is overrated. You actually have to do it. More text.
Hope he does it before his salary potentially grows.
Yeah, for sure. Nathan from Mont Bellevue. Branham should just listen to Blankers from Jump Street every time. No. That's good advice, Nathan. I agree.
No, Blankers, man.
He's never wrong. Blankers has never been wrong.
You make
ever.
Sure you know that's not true.
CJ needs to go to slide school. I'll tell you that. Maybe I am just make-believing this. The play of the game was the scramble run he had and flexed while still on the ground. The stadium went crazy after that when we knew at that point the offense was going to be all right. It was a fumbled snap in the long run that CJ had that turned things around. Did y'all notice post-game when they asked CJ about staying calm, he credited Gerard, Davis Mills, and Case Keenum go Cougs, but didn't mention Bobby.
Let's not do that.
Stroud credits Bobby a lot.
He likes
so
Bobby
like maybe in that interview he like didn't remember him, but yeah, I wouldn't put anything to that. Key from LA strong. Yeah, thoughts go out to all those in LA still affected by the fires. CJ is back, final four for the second straight year. So
Shut up, Stroud.
I'll show you right there who is better. Facts. That's fair. I can concede that. Redraft right now, not you, but GMs. Who's going first, CJ or Herbert? CJ, because he's younger and he's got a better contract.
Yeah, I would say CJ.
I think you're just going on
take all those variables out. Just take it right. Just say one or the other.
Yeah. I think they'd go very close to each other.
I would go. I mean, the NFL picked.
I think it'd be a split decision amongst GMs.
I think it'd be pretty close.
Yeah.
I mean, the NFL picked Herbert, what, sixth overall, Stroud second, and Stroud's had more success as a pro. So I would say I don't know why it would flip.
Comparing different drafts, though.
Some GMs are enamored by arm strength and body size, and then you look at some of the intangibles CJ has brought to the table.
Does CJ look like Jeremy Pena running? Pena runs so weird. He's so fast.
Yeah, he's got a hitch in his giddy up. It's just a non-traditional way of running the way he runs.
Yeah, but he's blazing fast.
It's
so weird.
Don't let the Pelicans get involved like with Zion and teach him how to rerun again. No, it's not that bad because it's amazing how fast he is, but it always looks like he's on the ball of just one foot. Yeah. And he's like trying to prevent a calf from popping or something.
Lamont's asking us on Twitter, hold up, did I cuss? If so, I apologize. Don't apologize. We want to be more cutting edge in 2025. Now, if Brian's asleep at the wheel, that's on Brian. I'm not sure exactly.
Was the first term allowable?
Did Lamont say something he shouldn't have said? 713-780-3776. We're unsure.
Yeah, let's call more attention to it. Yeah.
Let's call more attention to Lamont, perhaps. We're cutting edge in the Killer Bees in 2025. Also, let's get to our mailbag Monday. 713-780-ESPN. What's your question for the Bees? 713-780-3776. It is the Killer Bees. ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Mail call!
It's a Mailbag Monday with the Killer Bees.
You've got mail.
What's your question for the Bees? 713-780-ESPN. HRP listener line. 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRP listener line. Pena, you're in the Hive. What's your question for the Bees?
Hey, what's going on, guys? So with Matthew Golden announcing that he's going to enter the NFL draft, if he's still there by a Texas pick, should Caserio pull the trigger and keep him in Texas? Thank you. Have a great day.
What round, Pena? He's not a first rounder.
No, I wouldn't think so.
Yeah, go Cougs. He's more of a Cougar than he is a Longhorn, by the way.
There are two Goldens on the Texas roster?
No, there's a Bolden.
Bolden, yeah. Bolden.
Silas Bolden, a receiver that got out of Oregon State in the transfer portal.
Yeah, they rhyme, so it's difficult.
No, I thought just the way they said it one time, I was like, wait a minute, is there another Golden?
Yeah, there's Bolden, okay. Golden, and Bond. It got very confusing at times.
Got it.
Yeah.
If he was there in
late rounds, what's he projected to go? Probably like mid rounds, fourth or fifth.
I was thinking third round.
Like,
if
high?
He, that might be high, but my like gut reaction without like looking at Lance's, you know, stuff or whatever, I would have thought third round for him, which I'd be fine with if they took a shot on him there.
I will I wouldn't draft him ahead of the fourth round. But I mean, he would fit this room pretty good. You're not going to have Tank Dell. I'm not counting on getting Tank Dell back next year. If he surprises me and makes it back, good on Tank. But that injury is going to be pretty difficult for him to get back from.
No, I'd agree. Look, I think the bigger picture as it relates to this is now would they be considering looking at a receiver somewhere in the draft? And I think the answer is yes. I think that, you know, with what they've seen, what happened to Tank, the fact that I think Diggs is, whether they even are interested or not, I think the injury alone is going to set him back for a portion of next season at minimum. I think they should, they're going to be looking both free agency and draft for a receiver.
This isn't a tremendous skill position draft in the first round. Like Travis Hunter, if you think he's a receiver, he's going to be the earliest one taken. Where does Jinty go? I don't know. Like, does he make it? Is he in the teens? Is he a top 15 pick? But then some of these other receivers are bottom half of the first round.
And the quarterbacks are,
I mean, the Arizona guy probably be top 10. But after that, like, every receiver is in the bottom half of the first round.
Yeah, like the best receivers in the nation are freshmen. I mean, with Jeremiah Smith and I'm forgetting the kid's name from Alabama who's like started the season 17 years old. Ryan Williams.
There you go.
Oh, I think it was a rumor.
Yep.
My mind went blank. The Luther Burton guy from Missouri. Like, hey, I saw him in the bottom half of the first round.
The tight end from Penn State's going to go.
Tight end Penn State, bottom half of the first round.
Yeah, Tyler Warren.
But bottom half of the first round.
Is that where he's favored to go?
That's where I've seen him, yeah.
Really?
And a lot of people don't love taking tight ends that early now because you don't get a great cap savings by doing it. Like, if you draft a tight end in the first round, their money that they're getting on their contract is pretty comparable with some of the top tight ends in the NFL. Whereas if you draft a receiver who are making $40 million nowadays, you get a rookie first-round slot versus a $40 million receiver, you get the cap savings there. I think it's a reason that Brock Bowers like actually slipped a little bit. I think it's why Tyler Warren's going to slip a little bit because you don't get the boost in terms of the savings that you get at other positions, like quarterback, like receiver, like offensive lineman, like even corner. I think it's part of the reason that running backs have started to slip a little bit too, although they are starting to make their comeback. Question for the Bees. What were the keys to victory for the Texans? Rock and roll.
Defense?
I think, yeah, it's defense for sure. Trenches for me. Like, their offensive line, I think, did pretty good against a very difficult defensive line. And I thought their defensive line did really well against a really good offensive line. Like, well, I kind of mocked it last week, like preview radio, yay. But the one that I pointed to was winning the trenches, because I think that's critical every week. But especially whenever you're going up against the Chargers, I thought their trench play was fantastic.
Yeah. I mean, Will Anderson Jr., was he blocked a single time? It didn't feel like it. Like,
there was even, one where I know he wasn't touched.
I think he only ended up with, one official sack? But it felt like every single play they were calling out his name as being in the backfield, hitting Herbert as he threw it. He was unblockable against the Chargers.
Yeah, I think the pass rush was great. Hunter was great, too. I mean, even Herb and Harbaugh even made mention of the fact both those guys. I think the defensive line, the interior defensive line, was Foley was all over the place. You know, you had everybody was contributing. Edwards was, again, a guy that I thought was kind of over the hill when they brought him in, was just kind of like a late depth add, has been fantastic.
I'm seeing a lot of people on X, I don't know what that is, saying Robinson Cano over Jose Altuve all time. That's absurd. Do you guys agree?
I don't think there's any comparison, because no matter what you think about Robbie Cano, after getting dinged, I think, twice now with PEDs and stuff, it's not even a discussion.
Yeah, Robbie Cano is a cheater.
Yeah, I'll go Altuve over Cano.
Now, we're also doing radio in Houston, so not saying Altuve here might get us fired. Who will make a conference championship first, the Texans or the Rockets?
Texans.
I mean, they're a game away.
They could literally do it Saturday.
I feel like the math on this, like if you were making a bet, how could you not pick the Texans?
The only way to, you just have to think about the competition to start thinking about, like, if Lamar and Allen and Mahomes are going to be in your way every year for the next couple of years, is that greater or less than the Rockets going up against the West, where I think they can compete with OKC and Minnesota? Denver's a little less than. I'd give the Rockets a better chance over the next, say, well, maybe not. I was going to say the next three or four.
I think they're
years.
Almost on the same level.
It's pretty close.
I think they're on the same level. First NFL game I've ever been to, the building shook on the pick six. Was the crowd normal? I don't know. I mean, it's turned up.
I think it's definitely because of the playoffs.
The commenters were definitely very impressed with the crowd. Ian Eagle and I forget who the other
Charles
guy was.
Davis.
It was a Charles.
How come you remember the
Charles
white guy's
Davis.
Name?
Man, you were
Wow. Okay.
I'm just saying. It's true. It's fact. You remembered one guy, didn't remember the other. What's the what's the problem?
Congratulations on stating a fact. But
did you remember that it's Khalil?
Yeah, they made a big deal about that on the broadcast.
Ian Eagle, not Ian Eagle.
And we've talked about it today.
Yes, we have talked about it.
Ian Eagle, heck of a guy, too. Ian Eagle's a fantastic human being.
And
very
his kid,
nice
his
man.
Kid just worked hard to get to that job level.
To be fair to Noah, he
making
is good.
A nepotism.
Oh, boy. You want to talk about a silver spoon bet.
I mean, is it a bigger silver spoon than Collinsworth, kid?
Yes, it's more.
Yeah, he gets
better
gigs.
He got the Clipper gig before he got all the national TV.
Okay. He gets better gigs. To be fair to Noah, though, he is really good.
That's why I was going to say, like, Noah's better at his job than Collinsworth, 100%. Kid is at his job.
100%. What's Charles Robinson's kid doing?
No idea.
Yeah, you didn't know his name.
He's probably very successful, though.
Of course, another Saturday afternoon
game.
Charles
Robinson, I thought it was Charles Davis.
Did I screw it up?
Oh, yeah. I thought it was Charles Davis.
What a botch that was. My bad. Of course, another Saturday afternoon game for the Houston Texans. So you're going to get into breaking down the Kansas City-Houston game? Or are we going to do that the rest of the week? I hope not. I hate preview radio, but I'm sure we're going to a little bit.
We'll get to it when we have guests. And
I mean, we've already kind of have. I mean, it's a big game, AFC divisional round game. The Texans can do something they've never done. We don't like doing a ton of preview radio here, but we'll do a little.
I mean, especially since these teams faced, you know, 4 weeks ago. I mean, there's not a whole lot to break down. Like, we kind of know who these teams are. It's like, which one plays their A game, especially on the Texans side, because I don't think they can win without their A game. So that's kind of really all it comes down to.
Later in the week, we're going to have DJ on. I'm sure that Alex Gold or whoever we have on can talk Kansas City Chiefs football for us. I think there'll be plenty of time.
Yeah, we'll talk a lot about it. We'll talk a lot about it. I'm not sure the texture wanted us to, actually. Has Alex Bergman been the biggest loser ever as a Boris client?
No.
Jordan Montgomery.
Dallas Keuchel may turn out to be that way.
Keuchel kind of got a roll. He still got paid, though.
But at the end of the day, the initial...
Keuchel's pretty bad.
The original Astros offer was greater than his journeyman status the rest of his career.
That was a pretty bad one. Yeah. That might be the worst one. Like, Montgomery didn't go where he wanted and all that stuff, but he still got paid.
Yeah. For 2 years.
Yeah.
He got multiple years, too, yeah. And even Chapman. Chapman got paid.
He ended up signing the long-term deal, too.
And Snell got paid.
Yeah.
After a year.
I think we have to wait on Bregman. Like, we have to figure out what he actually signs for.
Right now, it is definitely up for discussion because Scott Boras may have sold Alex Bregman a bad bill of goods, even just the way that they thought they were playing the Astros and maybe have gotten played.
Yeah, but what if he gets $175 million
tomorrow?
I'm
saying that's why it's still to be determined.
Yeah, it's TBD.
But if he doesn't and he really truly wanted to stay in Houston and thought, hey, the Astros are telling us they really want you back, we have some negotiation room here, and then he didn't. And then they went behind and just did everything to make sure he didn't? Ooh.
That's a big if, though. Like,
we'll see how it plays out.
We have to see what he actually signs for. Like, if he ends up doing the one-year short-term deal, $25 million, $30 million, then probably, but we still have to wait.
Or if he settles for less than 6 and 156.
See, I don't think he'll do that. I think he signs a short-term deal before he does that. I think he'll sign a $30 million, 3-year deal with opt-outs after
he better
get year.
Multiple years, because I'm not betting on him having a career year.
I think he'll do a 3-year, $90 million deal with opt-outs after year 1 year, too, before he does
probably left. The way they normally do it. Yeah. Like, security if he doesn't have the year, and
Which, even if he does that, we still wouldn't be able to tell if he got screwed over. Because if he goes and, you know, signs that kind of deal, opts out, and then signs $200 million deal next offseason, he wins.
We got to see him in 7 years.
Yeah. Well, not necessarily seven.
Well, because 6 and 156 was on the table.
It depends on the contract that he would get next offseason.
But I'm saying that's why in 7 years you'll know what he's made to that point.
Well, it could be 2 years. Because if he signs a 1-year deal and then signs a 6-year deal next offseason, we have our answer.
Yeah, but I'm saying we can't go till he's 6 more years in his career down the road to say, did it work? Did he make a bad decision?
We need 7 years worth of contract.
Right.
6 years worth of contract. Yeah. Ocho, do you think the Texans defense can get stops versus the Chiefs if they don't create turnovers?
Yeah, I think they can get stops versus the Chiefs. Yes, I'm a little more concerned about the offensive efficiency.
Yeah, I mean, you sack Mahomes, put him in a second and long, get him behind the chains. I think they can. Yeah, I think they can.
That's why I'm saying I'm more concerned about with this offensive line and with what we saw yesterday. They've got to up their game on the offensive side against a really good Chiefs defense.
Yeah, I agree with you. Why doesn't anyone care about the Rockets?
Why shouldn't they?
No, you said, why doesn't anyone care?
Oh, because we're still in football season. And
we
this
care. We talk about the Rockets after every game.
We actually do. We talk Rockets more than most, and I don't even know what. And I don't know what the other. I know one station doesn't, and I know the other station is the flagship. And kind of does, but we are very consistent with talking about them when there's something to talk about.
Yeah, we talk about the Rockets all the time. Who do you think the Texans will match up with for the Super Bowl?
Oh, boy.
Why do you still beat your wife?
Yeah. I mean, the Lions,
really?
To me, even without playing a game and having injuries, look better than what I saw from Philadelphia yesterday.
Yeah, I'll go Lions. That's chalk. Somebody said Golden projects second round, and they see him projected top 50. I don't see that. I don't see that.
Maybe it's like you're saying, though. Maybe it's because it's a very light wide receiver draft.
I don't see him being a top 50 pick. I think I would take that bet.
Brian, do you?
I don't, but that could speak to why he came out, though. Like, I mean, these guys, when they decide to come out, they talk to the draft community like, hey, sure what do people think? Where do they think I'm going to go? And if he got a second round grade, then I could see, obviously, him deciding to come out.
Otherwise, isn't Texas paying him more?
Yeah, that's the weird thing with NIL. Like, I don't know what he was a transfer, so I wouldn't, and he's not a quarterback, so I wouldn't expect his NIL deal at Texas to be through the roof. I would guess he would probably get definitely over $1 million, but I don't know exactly what.
I feel like I have a pretty good grasp on it. Y'all guess how much, I don't know. This is a complete guess just on hearsay and stuff.
What he had this last year?
What he made?
Yeah, y'all guess and then see what I said.
1.5.
750,000.
Oh, wow. I would say 750. Yeah.
Did you see, and it's one of those shock moments where you really, really dial into what these kids are making. You see Deion set new rules for all of his team. And at the end of it, so he says, no tank tops, no flip-flops, sit in the front of the class at every class you're in. And at the once the season starts, if you're just mailing it in, not going to classes, or you're just getting a D or less, you ain't playing, we're on to you. And oh, by the way, I'm docking your checks.
Like, and he's saying that after Travis.
But he's saying, I'm docking your checks. And it was like, wow, college kids getting their every 2 week payments docked tells you how real it is with the money they're making.
The sooner that we all understand that it is now professional sports,
yep,
the better we'll all be. Is the bullpen on Saturday already a better show than Give Me the Vin show? No. Give Me the Vin pays us money. They pay us. You can't talk down about people that pay us.
Okay, good point.
There you
it's
go.
A great show. Join the Wolfpack.
If you give out $100 if they can't beat your rating?
No. I don't think we get ratings on Saturday. Like that. I don't think Arbitron or whatever's ever tracked Saturdays.
Whole can on Twitch with that one.
We don't do get ratings anymore. Anyways, we opted out. You're getting free wings tonight, thanks to Murray. What's this free wings thing? I need to know more because I like wings.
Where?
I like free. Text back. How are we getting free wings?
Oh, pick six gets six free boneless wings. Dan Campbell does the commercial.
Yeah.
Applebee's?
Oh, wait, Applebee's?
Yep.
So Applebee's chicken nuggets.
I didn't want to say it on the air.
What we're getting for free.
But yeah, you get six free boneless
chicken nuggets
wings because of the pick six.
I'm going to J-Bar-M tonight. I'm good.
Yeah.
Keith from LA, if you had the choice to swap out your head coach or your starting quarterback, who would it be?
Depends on who you're getting in return.
Well, I think he's saying you could pick anybody.
Oh, wow.
That's tough. I think quarterback's more important than head coach.
Quarterback's the most important position in sports.
But are you swapping out
Stroud?
McVay
and Allen?
I'm swapping out Stroud if I get to pick who I replace him with.
Who are you picking? Who would you pick?
Probably Mahomes.
Yeah, I'd either be Mahomes or Lamar for me.
What about Burrow?
But then, no, I wouldn't pick Burrow over Mahomes and Lamar. I love Burrow, but I wouldn't pick him over Mahomes and Lamar.
We know you're not picking Josh Allen.
I would go, you know what? I would actually go head coach because I'd rather have McVay and Stroud than D'Amico and Mahomes. So I'll go D'Amico for McVay. If I had to do this.
I'm going
I'm good with where I'm at.
I am too, but I'm going quarterback.
And so you'd rather have D'Amico and Mahomes?
Yeah, and any one of the three that we mentioned, I think with D'Amico, locker room, culture, defense, everything fine, to have one of those guys, yeah.
Kind of a mean question, though.
It is.
It's a Bush League question.
Especially this week.
Bush League question. Why does Blankers hate Greg Gard so much? I think he's a great coach. Team plays team ball. His team is ranked 24th right now.
Because he can't recruit, and it's fool's gold for the most part. And he's afraid to go into bigger cities in the surrounding areas and get players that he can get and keep.
What was that? A little chopped and screwed back there,
buddy? Well, our music bed's not long enough when we combined, I had to fade up the next one.
B-Mac mixtape. If you're going somewhere with your significant other, do you let them drive if they want to?
I do.
My wife never wants to.
Yeah, I would let my wife drive, but she never wants
Occasionally,
to.
Occasionally, Lisa does. Because
I would have to ask her
Because our family car is her car. It's cleaner. So sometimes she'll be just like, hey, just let, I want to drive today. I was like, okay, cool, whatever. It's not that big of a deal.
You saying you keep a messy car?
I sure do.
Who doesn't?
We're
men.
Yeah.
That's what we do.
What does that mean?
We're men. We eat steak, we drink coffee and whiskey, and we keep our cars dirty.
Yeah,
should be a truck, though. Yeah.
I don't drink coffee, my car's clean.
And you park your truck
perfectly. Perfectly. Go out there and look at it.
Some beta tendencies.
Every blind squirrel finds a nut every now and then, Brian.
Oh, come on. You were on my side.
I was until you got a little boisterous about it.
A scale from 0 to 10, how excited are you for the Canelo Crawford fight in September?
Is that official?
I saw some tweets about it, yeah.
So, boxer boy.
That's way, way far out because they'll both have fights in May, I would assume. So that's
probably the Cinco de Mayo fight.
Yeah, exactly. They usually fight around the two main Mexican holidays. The other one, obviously, around September 15th, whatever weekend that is. But, yeah, I mean, if that fight happens, I'd be ecstatic, although that's a big jump in weight for Terrence Crawford. I have my questions, but... It feels like a hand-picked opponent again for Canelo because he knows he's going to be 30 pounds heavier.
You just answered the question like my wife does.
Extended play?
Scale from 0 to 10, how excited are you for this fight?
I didn't even remember that you said it.
Yeah, there you go.
7.5.
Hey, I'm at a 9. I'm excited for this fight.
I'm excited because it's the two best boxers in the sport. I just worry about the weight difference.
Yeah, fair criticism. Also, I think Crawford might be a little heavier than you let on.
I mean, he's made his living out.
I'm not a boxing fan.
Yeah, but their walk-around weight's pretty similar, I noticed. I was looking that up the other day. Does A-plus grade Texans beat A-grade Kansas City?
They both play their A game?
No, Texans A-plus, Kansas City A.
No.
No.
I don't think so either. I think it's going to take an A-plus and a B.
Yes. Yeah. A-plus, like B to B minus.
Just go less than an A. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think if we break the quarterback's leg, we'll have a better chance of winning. Cash. Absolutely. That is 100% true. If they break Mahomes' leg in the first quarter, they have a better chance to win. That's a fact.
Wrong day.
What?
Wrong day.
Did I say Sunday?
You cashed.
Yeah, man, I'm not going to use that tomorrow.
Did Jaden Daniels have a better rookie season than CJ Stroud?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, probably.
Because of the rushing yards and the touchdowns?
He had like 800 rushing yards.
I'm saying the rushing yards obviously factors in, but did he have... from the passing standpoint alone, I think
it's very close.
Yeah, I doubt that he had
more yards per game.
I don't think he had more touchdowns. I think Jaden Daniels had 40-something touchdowns. Or something, right?
I don't think he had
40-something, not passing.
He also had
40, didn't he?
Maybe
at least 40.
Maybe you're talking
total. If you add in rushing, not passing.
If only there was a way we could look this up.
There's no way to know, so don't worry about it.
Daniels threw for 25, and he ran... Why is it so far down there? He ran for 6.
So 31?
Not 40.
Not 40.
Misinformation from my Bears fan buddy.
Somebody listening to a Bears fan.
Because he's mad.
I am proud that you have friends, though.
He's mad because I cashed in. He bet me at the start of the year Caleb Williams would have a better rookie season than CJ had last year. And then he doubled down today by going, would it matter if I said Jaden Daniels? Because he had a better season than CJ Stroud. And I was like, did he, though?
I think they were comparable. Like, I mean, I think we get too heavy. And like, this guy threw for 4,212 yards. This guy threw for 3,918. Like, I think they're comparable. If a man has to let the woman drive, he has a DUI. That's mean, but probably true. Daniels didn't win his division. The problem with this is he spelled win, W-H-E-N.
Oh, no. I hope it was voice texting.
Win his division. It could have been. It could have been voice to text. Yeah, maybe we should give him the benefit of the doubt. After all of what y'all said, how impressed would you be? Would y'all be with the Texans win? I'd be over the moon.
I don't know what we've all said. I mean,
look, I think he means like against the Chiefs.
I think just being as honest as we can be, would I be impressed with a win? Hell yes, I would.
Anyway,
how can you not be?
It's their first time ever to an AFC Championship game.
A win on the road against the two-time defending champs. How can you not?
And you get someplace you've never been before.
Yeah,
yeah. Franchise history. Yeah, it'd be a ten out of ten. All right. Do not ignore in victory what you wouldn't in defeat. What are you not ignoring in victory despite the Texans' win? 713-780-3776. It's the Bees. ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.